I was thinking, as our brother was speaking, you know, he's talking to us individually, what we seek for, and encouraging us to seek those things out of the Lord and for ourselves, and how it might cost us something. And I was thinking, I remember in scriptures reading about Job, him telling Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And we know that Job wasn't the only servant that God had over the times. And I'm not downplaying Job. But he had other servants. And what I had on my heart to share with you is that we might consider David. David. And how he came about. But I want to start back a little bit about the people of Israel. And how the people of Israel were delivered from Pharaoh. How the Lord took care of the children of Israel for many, many, many years and chose to put his name with Israel and so on. And how he provided for all their needs. You know, that Israel was under bondage under Pharaoh rule. They were being persecuted. And they had quite a burden. They had quite a burden under the Pharaoh's rule. And they prayed to God. And that God might send them a deliverer. And there was a man named Moses. He was zealous. Zealous for the people of the Lord, even though he was raised in the Pharaoh's house, because there was a law put on the children of Israel about the boys being killed. And Moses was put in a basket, and the Pharaoh's daughter found Moses, and she took him as to her own and raised him. And the mother of Moses was the handmaid, the maid that took care of Moses, and so on, and so on. And then Moses grew up, and he didn't like how Pharaoh was treating his people. And he saw one mistreating one of his people, and he killed that guard. And it was found out that he'd done that. And so he went into hiding. And there in hiding, he, for years and years, the Lord spoke to him and wanted to use him, and yet he felt inferior to be used of the Lord. And so he had help from his brother, Aaron, and that the Lord used Moses to deliver the children out of that bondage. And they go into the desert. They're traveling through the desert after they went through the Red Sea. The sea opened up, and they walked through on dry land. And Pharaoh's army started to go through dry land. But the water came in on them and destroyed them. And so the people began to sing unto the Lord, praising the Lord. And it's really a little picture of us when we get saved and we're new in Christ. At least it was on my behalf that I remember being saved and how I had something to sing about. I had something to sing about. But over the years, the many trials that we've all in this room have experienced, sometimes it's a little hard to sing. And we have forgotten what the Lord has done for us. In that desert land, the children got tired of the manna. They got tired of the manna that the Lord fed them, that sustained their life. So they murmured against the Lord. And they would say, too, that the Lord has brought us to this desert so we could be killed, you know, die of thirst. And that made Moses angry, and he hit the rock twice. I think there he lost the blessing of going into the promised land, but he's seen it from a distance. Well, now we're going to go to David's time. In David's time, in Samuel, 1 Samuel 12, I'm starting before David comes on the scene, but again, the children of Israel are in a bad way here. Samuel was raised up, but the people rebelled against the Lord again. And they demanded a king. They wanted a king to rule over them like ruled over other lands, that wanted someone to take the place of making decisions for them. And this was very wrong for Israel to do, because they had the Lord, and they weren't putting their trust in Him, so they wanted a king. Now imagine in your minds, when I say a king, what do you think of a king? Well, let's read a little bit in this portion. Verse 1, "And Samuel said unto Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice, in all that ye have said to me, and have made a king over you." Well, we know who that king was going to be. That was Saul. Saul was the first king. And when I think of a king, I think of someone that's strong, someone that's smart, someone that's handsome, someone that has everything going for them. Someone that you could look at, somebody could look at and say, he's a king, you know. So, this is how this king was picked. It was, Samuel was told of the Lord to give him the king. Give them what they want. Well, sometimes we get what we want, don't we? We get exactly what we want. And sometimes it's not good for us. Sometimes it's trouble. It means trouble. They had Samuel. They had the Lord. But they wanted something else. They wanted a king. They had manna. They wanted something else. They were delivered from hardness. But they wanted to go back to it. We are just like the children of Israel. We're just like the children of Israel. But Saul didn't pan out for them. I don't think Saul knew what the Lord wanted him to do. I don't think Saul even knew the Lord. And he did many wicked things. Now this is where I want to go to. I want to go to the portion where God takes away that kingship from Saul and gives it to another. If I could find it here in a second. I want to go to the part where Samuel is told to go to Jesse. He has seven sons. And he says, anoint so and so. Chapter 16. Yes, that's it. Let's start with verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long will I mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I send you to Jesse. the Bethlehemite, for he has proven me a king amongst his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. Samuel was fearing Saul for his life. Very understandable. Very understandable. A king could do whatever a king wanted to do. But he had the Lord. Samuel had the Lord. Sometimes we get that way, like Samuel. And I'm not trying to bring out anything negative about Samuel. Because if I was in his shoes, I would probably have said the same thing. But the Lord said, go. Let's see. I lost my place here. And will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I come to sacrifice to the Lord. The Lord gave him a way out. He gave him a way out. And the Lord can give us a way out. We trust him. And he called Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou wilt do. And thou anoint unto me him whom name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and it came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peacefully? And he said, peacefully I've come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come unto me to sacrifice. And he sacrificed Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they had come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord anointed is before him. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not at his countenance or its height and his stature, because I have refused him. Let's stop there a second. Wasn't that the same thing that happened when they anointed Saul? They looked upon his stature. He was a perfect example of what a king probably should have looked like. He was strong, brave. He looked like a king. And this was one of the sons, and he had the same look. But the Lord says, do not look there. Do not look there. I will tell you. I will tell you. I'll make it known to you which one. Because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not man as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, he neither hath the Lord has chosen. And Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen him this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. Was it all? Was it all the sons he had? Samuel thought all the sons were gathered there, but they weren't. And Samuel said unto Jesse, there are here all thy children. And he said, there remaineth the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not set down until he comes hither. And they sent and brought him in. And now he has a ruddy and withal a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this one is he. Well, what do we know about David? Well, he wasn't there. Kind of makes you wonder if he, I don't know, maybe it was his turn to watch the sheep. We know he was a keeper of the sheep. We know he delivered the sheep from a lion and a bear. We know that he sang upon, he considered the Lord in his work, and he sang to the Lord, and he was happy in the things of the Lord. He had a real honest belief in the Lord. He really trusted the Lord. There was some reality to his belief in the Lord. He lived it. He lived it. But he wasn't here when Samuel came. I don't know for what reason, why not. Maybe that was his job and he had to do his job, and that was what he was looked upon as to do. And I don't know if we know what the reason why he wasn't there, but he was to be there. He was to be there, but he wasn't. I can only assume maybe he wasn't there because he wasn't highly respected by his father. I don't know. Maybe that's a little hard. Maybe that's not true. But for some reason, when Samuel said, "Gather all your sons," they weren't gathered. But as soon as he came, and he was the youngest, let's see, did it say? He was the youngest, and he keepeth the sheep. You know, the other ones were older. Some of them really looked like the king, looked like a king should be. They were strong. Well, this one was a keeper of sheep. You know, David loved the sheep, and he protected them. But he didn't protect the sheep alone. He protected the sheep with the strength of the Lord. And I was just thinking about that. If you think about this yourself, each one of us has that possibility to do. We have that possibility to do things in the Lord. Do things for the Lord. What's it say? Even a glass of cold water in my name? As simple as that. This is not a meeting about myself. Though I don't go around like a happy Christian ought to go around and have peace in the Lord, there is a peace in my heart to know that the Lord is my Savior. And he saved me from my sins. And I don't have to answer for those sins anymore. They've been taken care of on the cross of Calvary. And it gives me peace. Does that mean that my life, everything's perfect in it? No, it doesn't mean it's perfect. Just because you become a Christian and then put your trust in the Lord doesn't mean everything's going to go on your way. There are scriptures that says it rains on the good and the evil. So the same rain that falls on the evil falls on the good. Now, the Lord told Samuel to pick David. And the best thing about what I'm going to say is we have the Word of God here that tells us these things. And I'm not going to read them all. And I know I'm not interpreting it the way I want to interpret it. But it says the Lord loved David. The Lord loved David. And David was the keeper of the sheep. Verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went unto Ramah. And the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So Saul was troubled. His kingship was taken from him that day, even though he didn't really come down from his throne until he was killed. and David take the place. And we know that David didn't take Saul's life to take his place on that throne. And we know that Saul was jealous of David. We know Saul was jealous of David. There was a time where David comforted Saul with music and gave him peace. And you know, as Christians, we could be that same comfort to an unbeliever. We could be that comfort to him. We could give them peace. But we know in reality that they need to accept Christ to have it for their own. It's a responsibility that each soul in this world takes. My salvation won't save somebody else unless they accept it for themselves. It's personal. And I think our brother was talking about that personal and so on. Let's go on. Learn a little bit more. We learn about the challenge. We learn about the challenge. We knew there was a man. There was a giant. He was a champion. Let's see, verse 17. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and in span, a span. Imagine this man was a very huge man. And David was a very small man. It would be like comparing a marble to a basketball, probably, for those that are younger, for comparison. Or a skyscraper to a shack. This giant was huge. It was huge. And he came out and defied the armies of Israel, the armies of the Lord, the army of the Lord. And he blasphemed against the children of Israel and their God. But we know that Jesse sent David to go see how his brothers were doing. And he went and seen how his brothers were doing. And he also seen this giant. And this giant would come out and challenge the children of Israel many, many times. Just many, many times. And every soldier that was in that army was scared. Was scared of this giant. Because they looked upon him as someone that was strong. And we see people like that today. We see, you know, strong men. And we know if we were to get into the ring with them that they possibly would do great damage to us. But David seen through this giant. He didn't see a giant. He saw someone that was blaspheming against his Lord. See, David drew his strength from the Lord. And I feel today that strength remains. We still, the Lord that was David's back then is the Lord that we have today. And his capacity hasn't changed. His strength hasn't declined. It hasn't declined one bit. What has changed? Usually if there's something that has changed, it's us. It's personal. It's us. It's our trust. It's our lack of our eyes upon the Lord, looking upon the Lord. Because if you really think about it, He holds the very breath in His hands, our very breath in His hands. We could trust Him. We could trust Him. And David, he was zealous, wasn't he? He was zealous. You could sit there and if you were looking at David, you would think, you know, maybe his brothers looked on him and said, he's just trying to be somebody. He's just trying to be somebody. But that's not the case. And we know that God gave David the victory, didn't he? It wasn't of his own strength. It was in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of God, that he brought that giant down. Well, wouldn't it be nice to have faith like that, to bring that giant down? Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. Still the same Lord. We could draw the same strength from Him. You know, I think about David. I don't want this to sound like a negative ministry, but we know that things didn't always go the way they should have for someone that has put their trust in the Lord. David made mistakes. He numbered the people. And he brought judgment down upon Israel because of that. Why did David do that? You think he meant to do it on purpose? I think David dismissed the mind of the Lord in that matter. He was told he shouldn't have numbered the people. Why did you have to number the people of Israel? This country that we live in takes census. People go out from house to house and they take census of how many population, how many people live there, how much people are in the household and so on. And they do that so they know whether to put up a stoplight or stop signs or build on to school or know from that census of numbering on what needs to be done. So they could be ahead of time, they could think about what needs to be done. God did not want that from His people. He did not want His people to be numbered because He wanted to provide for them. He wanted David to trust Him. God doesn't need numbers. He doesn't need numbers. I remember somebody up here at one time saying, if God needed money, He could have saved Henry Ford. You know, I remember that. That saying stuck with me. But He's not looking to numbers, and that's why the children of Israel was judged, because David numbered the people. David didn't do right by the Lord. Did the Lord stop loving him? No, the Lord did not stop loving him. When the ark was brought back, when the ark was found, and it should have been brought back because it belonged with the children of Israel. Uzzah, a priest. The ark began to slip. Uzzah put forth his hand, he touched the ark, and he died. David didn't understand that. There was a time in my life where I read that portion, and I couldn't understand it myself. But I've had help over the years, and it's been brought to my knowledge, knowing that there was a way the ark should have been carried. And that was with staves, bars on each side that you could hold on the end and you could hold the ark up. But the ark wasn't being carried that way. It wasn't being carried that way. It was being carried carelessly. And because it was being carried carelessly, a man lost his life. Someone David thought a lot of. And David began to fear the Lord because of that. He learned the fear of the Lord at that time. Now I like to think about that ark. What does that ark represent? Well, I know that the tablets were in there and Aaron's rod was in there. There was some holy things in that ark that belonged with the children of Israel. What represents the ark today for us? Well, I think it's sitting in our hands and our laps and that we read from. And we could read it as we choose to read it and choose to deny it when we choose to deny it or not read it. Not deny it, but not read it. We could be blessed by reading it. But how are we handling it? How are we handling this ark that we have in our hands? This, everything about God, everything about His people, everything about our salvation, the blood, the prophets, the blessings, the wedding, the ending, the Alpha, the Omega, the sin, the fall of man, and what brought us back, and what to do, how to, you know, just instructions for us. We have it all here in our hands. Do we know how to handle it? Do we know how to handle it? I know there's times that I don't handle it very well. And I know there's times in my life that I, a lot lately, that I've not been enjoying it like I should. But whatever I do with this book, whatever I choose to do with this book, doesn't matter. And I guess what I'm saying is, it's still the Word of God. The same God that David had is the same God we have. The same God that delivered the children of Israel is the same one that has delivered us from sin, a judgment of sin, that saved us from hell. Have you ever considered why He saved such a wretched people? Have you ever considered why we are saved? Is it to go on in life living comfortably? Is all it was to do is save us and now we could just live the way we want to live? Do we owe Him anything for this? Do we owe our God anything for this? He desires to have a people. He always did. He always desired to have a people. Will you be His people? Will we be His people? Or do we carry on like the children of Israel did? Being careless. They weren't always careless. The children of Israel weren't always careless. But it seemed like they always kept falling into the rut. The rut's still there. We could fall into it too. Just some things that were on my heart to consider. And it's just as much for me as it is possibly for you. And to share them, to encourage you and I, that even though the days are getting tougher, and who knows, maybe I'll lose my job tomorrow or my family might starve, which I hope not. I hope I can trust the Lord. And though there's not great numbers here, that the number that is here is someone that we're trusting the Lord. And we're looking for His guidance on how He would have us to do things And then it starts personally with each one. Our relationship with the Lord, and what we do with the Lord, it's not for our convenience. It's for His blessing. And that we might deny ourselves our wants for His desires, as someone that, like a loved one does for another one, gets his mind off himself and thinks of others, which I'm not the perfect one up here to be talking about that, but I should be.